Another question that came through on our market day on Saturday or via the SMS was this one, and Steve's going to address it. The question is, why did Jesus work as a carpenter in his father's joinery before his ministry and him being the Son of God as well?
I think there are three things involved here. The Bible talks about there being a first Adam and a last Adam or a second Adam. And the first Adam is the one who, by his turning away from God, injected the curse into the world, including, you know, all the problems that we've been talking about in the answers. The second Adam is Jesus, or the last Adam, and he pulls the fangs of the curse and reverses things. Now, that's not complete yet. He pulled the fangs, as it were, when he died and then rose again. But one day when he comes back, he's going to put everything right again. There will be that perfect place. So we're in that intermediate position now. The fangs of the curse have been pulled, but you know, there's still death and suffering in the world. Now, how does that bear upon this? For him to be able to do all these things, he had to be fully man. So he was the man, Christ Jesus, Son of God, but also Son of Man. He needed to be able to enter into everything that's part of our humanity, and that includes work. So he was born not in a palace, a son of leisure, as it were, but born into a stable to be the son of a village carpenter. He grew up and learned his father's trade, and no doubt there was a lot of hard work involved. There were no power tools then. You had to cut your own tree, saw them into planks by hand, plane them by hand, and so on. So it wouldn't have been easy work. He would have grown up knowing the difficulties of dealing with difficult customers, of being misrepresented and misunderstood, as well as being physically tired with aching muscles, sometimes perhaps an aching head trying to figure out how to make ends meet, a village carpenter. He would have known all those things, as well as every other part of our human condition, fatigue in all its ways, rejection, all of that. So it was necessary for him to have work that he might be part of our human condition. Otherwise he couldn't be, the second Adam, to set things right. He had to be both God and fully man. The second thing I draw out of this is that he shows us by this the great dignity there is in work. Now, a friend I used to work with years ago was a great joker, and he said, how did he put it? Work is the curse of the drinking man. The ancient one is drink is the curse of the working man. Well, is work a curse? No. Adam was given work before he rebelled. Work was a good thing, and it is a good thing. There is dignity in work, in good work. Not all work, perhaps. I can think of exceptions, like a drug dealer. But most occupations, there is a dignity in them, whether it's washing up, childcare and changing the nappies, or sweeping the streets, things we think of as menial jobs. There's a dignity in them. There's dignity in them if we approach it in a way of integrity. The Bible talks about us being able to, whatever we do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So whether we are sweeping the streets, we can do that with a sense of dignity, no matter what others think, because we're looking to Jesus, who worked with his hands. That's the second thing. The third thing is, at the age of about 30, he left that work and did a career change. See, that was the career of his earthly stepfather, Joseph. But then he took on the work of his heavenly father. And he said in one place in the Gospel in John, my father is working and I work. And the Jewish leaders of the time were so enraged at that, because they knew he was saying that he was one with God. He took on his father's work. So I think, to me, that's the reason that he worked.